look at this lady called Ruth. And Ruth gives us the lesson of the blessedness of an obedient life. The blessedness of an obedient life. Now, why is there so much unhappiness in this world? There's not one day in our life, I think, that we are 100% happy, free of worries or conflicts. Each day, 365 days, a year, there is always bound to be some conflict in our life, whether we want it or not, whether we are the source of that problem or not. Why do parents antagonize your children? Why do children increase their parents' blood pressure? Why must there be the use of the cane? Why are the security forces necessary? Why must we spend so much money on our police force, on what's the latest thing now, the CSI, the Crime Scene Investigation Unit? Why must we beef up our armies? Why must we purchase submarines? Waste all that money for some men to go under sea, under the water, to protect us. Why are all these things so unnecessary things? Whether it is within the family, in society, or in the world as a whole. The basic problem is, or the root cause of this is, a life of disobedience. We, our children, there are conflicts within the family, be it within the husband and the wife, or between parents and children, it's because there's disobedience. Disobedience to the basic requirements of God. Why do children antagonize and make their parents angry? Because you do not obey the fifth commandment, that is to honor your parents. Why do families break up? Why do husband and wives, after years and years of marriage, they divorce? It's because, in many cases, it's the man that's at fault. He has committed adultery. Not just in physically, but in the mind, in the heart. So the family breaks up because it's disobedience to the requirements of God's laws. Why is the whole world unhappy? Look at this now, we are everybody, those of us who are in business, are talking about the subprime problem in America. Because there is people are worshipping money and wealth instead of God. And so banks, the many banks, the big banks in the world, in chasing profits, they are willing to lend money to people with without good credit background. And so now they are suffering. And the world's financial system is shaken. We are living in disobedience to God. And that's why there is never a moment's peace in your life, in our lives, in society, and in the world. Mengapa hidup kita penuh dengan sengsara? Mengapa hidup kita penuh dengan konflik? Setiap hari kita hidup, pasti ada masa kita akan kena sakit hati. Sama ada orang yang menyakitkan hati kita atau sesuatu peristiwa yang berlaku yang menyakiti hati kita. Mengapa dalam dunia ini tidak ada keamanan yang sempurna? Ini adalah kerana kita tidak hidup mengikut undang-undang Tuhan. Kita tidak hidup mengikuti kemahuan Tuhan. Kita hidup cara kita sendiri. Kerana itu, hidup kita tidak ada keamanan. Now we look at the story of Ruth. She lived in the time of the judges. Now remember, this time is just after Joshua. Joshua has led the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. He has died. There's no one single leader, but now God raises judges to rule the land. An example of a judge would be Samson, and even Samuel. These are judges who rule the land instead of a king. And during this time, unfortunately, the Israelites, they have drifted away from worshipping the one true God, Jehovah, and they have begun to adopt the worship of the false gods around them. And God begins to punish the people of Israel. There is no peace in the land. They are invaded continuously by their enemies, by the Philistines, by the Amorites and so forth. And each time the people are punished, they are invaded by their enemies, they repent of their sins, they turn back to God, you know, and God raises a judge, a person like Caleb or Samson, you know, who leads the people, fights for the people, and frees them from their enemies, and brings them back to the true worship of God. But another punishment by God was famine. You know, there was the drought, a terrible drought in Israel, there was no food to be had. And so people left Israel. An example would be this family of Elimelech and his wife Naomi with their two sons. They had no food in Israel, so they migrated to the neighboring land of Moab to search for a better life. Now the nation of Moab, the people of Moab, was the result of Lot. Remember Lot, the nephew of Abraham. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He escaped from there before the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. He lost everything. He became drunk, and his daughters slept with him, you know, to produce more children, to carry on the family line. This was against God's laws. And so the result of the eldest daughter of Lot sleeping with her father was this man called Moab. And these people of Moab were raised up by God. And God had warned the Israelites that these people of Moab were not their friends. They were actually their enemies, and they were around to tempt the people of Israel away from God. They were a snare to the people of God. You see here in Numbers chapter 25, don't have to turn to that, let me read now. Verse 25, verse 1. Say, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. So the people of Moab were not a God-believing people, and they were there to trick, to entice the people of Israel away from their God. So unfortunately, this person, Elimelech, because of desperation, because of the famine in the land, he left Israel and he migrated to Moab and he stayed there. He died, and his two sons, unfortunately, married the women of Moab. Instead of marrying the ladies of Israel, they went and married unbelievers. And these two Moabite women were called Orpah and Ruth. This was against God's laws. But still they went ahead and they married these women. But in this story of Ruth, we see how God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. Even though his people disobey him, he uses their disobedience to achieve their aims. You see how great our God is. We are men. We can promise the sky and the earth to our wives, but of course we are not in control of everything, and so our promises always fall flat, right? So, but God is in control. He uses this disobedience of his people to achieve his aims, and you will find out what happened later on. Now this couple, the two sons, married the Moabite women, and after 10 years they died. It was left only Naomi and her daughters-in-law, the two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And they were living in poverty, because now without men to support them, they had nothing, no income. So Naomi heard that in Israel, things were getting better. The famine had ended, and they could return to try and find a life there. And so Naomi prepared to return to Israel. And then she told her two daughter-in-laws, don't follow me. Go back to your own people. I have nothing else for you. But the two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Naomi, said, no, we will follow you. Both of them said that. You are our mother-in-law. You have been very good to us. We will follow you. And so they journeyed back to Israel. But then partway, Naomi turned back to her two daughter-in-laws and told them, go back. It's no use following me. You have no future. You are still young. Go back to Moab. Find some other men to take care of you. Don't follow me. At this point, Orpah turned back. She listened to her mother-in-law's urgings and she went back. But Ruth did not. Ruth, you remember what she said in verse 16. It says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. So Ruth stuck to her original decision to follow her mother-in-law back to Israel. Orpah turned back. Now let us look at this woman more closely. We want to look at her, the woman, who she was. We want to look at her life. And then finally, we'll look at the lessons that we can draw from her life. Now, kita lihat dalam buku Ruth ini, masa ini adalah apa yang berlaku adalah kebuluran di Israel. Or seorang dengan nama Elimelek, dia keluar dari Israel, dia pergi ke negeri, negara Moab untuk mencari kehidupan yang baru. Dan di sana, anak lelaki, dia ada dua anak lelaki, mereka berkahwin dengan perempuan Moab. Now, ini tidak mengikut kemahuan Tuhan. Kerana orang-orang Moab itu tidak percaya kepada Tuhan. Dan Tuhan hanya mahu orang-orang dia berkahwin bersatu dengan bersama dengan orang-orang yang percaya kepada dia. Tapi dua anak lelaki, Elimelek, berkahwin dengan perempuan Moab. Satu nama dia Orpah dan satu nama dia Ruth. Tapi kita lihat kekuatan keagungan Tuhan kita. Bagaimana dia boleh menggunakan masalah ini untuk mencapai kemahuan dia. Lalu selepas 10 tahun, Elimelek dan dua anak lelaki dia meninggal dunia. Tertinggal Naomi dengan perempuan Orpah dan Ruth. Dan Naomi ingin pulang kepada ke Israel kerana kebuluran di Israel sudah berakhiran. Sudah berakhir. Dan Naomi mau pulang tapi dia tidak mau Orpah dan Ruth ikut dia. Dia sengaja minta mereka tinggal di Moab untuk mencari kehidupan yang baru. Orpah dengar cakap ibu mertua dia dan dia pulang ke Moab. Tapi Ruth tidak. Ruth enggan tidak mau meninggalkan Naomi. Dia mau ikut. So kita sekarang mau lihat Naomi. Siapa orang dia? Kita mau lihat kehidupan dia. Dan kita mau lihat belajar. Pelajaran yang terdapat dalam kehidupan dia. Now you see here. Ruth was a Moabite woman. And the Moabs were idol worshippers. They worship stones, rocks, whatever, except the one true God. But we see here that despite all these things, she was married with Naomi's son for 10 years. She made the decision to follow Naomi back to Israel. So we see here that she had faith in the God of Naomi. She says here, in the second part of verse 16, chapter 1, says, your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So she, her 10 years of marriage to Naomi's son, she learned something about the God of Israel. And she had faith in him. Had faith in this God, and she was willing to leave her people, leave her religion, and follow Naomi to worship Naomi's God, and go back to Naomi's land. So you see here, her faith is put into action. Many of us say, you know, when our friend is in trouble, we'll tell them, I will be with you through thick and thin. Whatever happens to you, I will be there with you. One day you find your friend is in prison. Will you join your friend in prison for his sake? Many of us will have second thoughts, isn't it? Right? But here, Ruth put her mouth, she put her words into action. She followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. We find that she is a hard-working woman because back in Israel, she worked from morning till evening to support herself and Naomi. We like to see two things about this Ruth. First of all, she was a clear-minded woman. Clear-minded means pikiran yang tenang, yang terbuka. She was clear. Today we see a lot of people who are fuzzy-minded. Look at the shows that we see on TV, especially the so-called entertainment shows meant for our children or youngsters. All the time is funny jokes, cracking this and that, laughing all the way. No substance. But here we see Naomi is a clear-minded woman. The 10 years that she lived with Naomi, she must have learned about who Jehovah was as compared to the gods of her people. She may have heard of how God had freed Israel from Egypt with his mighty miracles. She would have learned about why the people went to Canaan, the promised land, and how God helped them to conquer their enemies. She could see the difference between the God of Israel and the God of her own people, the Moabites. The Israelites worship the one true God. The Moabites worship many, many gods. It's not told here how many, but there were many. They bowed down to idols made by hands. Statues which had to be carried around. They fed their gods with food. They had to build houses to shelter their gods. But the God Jehovah, the God of Israel, does not need men to take care of him. So she could see the difference. The gods of her people and the God of Israel. So she could see clearly. Many people in this world, their minds are clouded. They say, why should I believe in the Christian God? Our religion, whether it's Buddhism or whatever ism, is older than Christianity. So older means better. Some people say, my grandparents have worshipped this God. My great-great-grandparents have worshipped this God. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for me. A lot of people think like this, and they cannot see clearly. But here we see Ruth, she saw clearly. She realized that her people, the Moabites, worship false gods. Although Israel was having trouble, they were having famine. That's why Elimelech had to leave Israel. But she could see clearly that they worshipped the one true God. Many people in this world would equate good life, blessings, health with a powerful God. That's why a lot of churches, unfortunately, they want to preach, they want to promote the wealth and the health and the wealth doctrine of the Bible, which is wrong. God never promised us good health. God never promised us a healthy bank account the moment we believe in him. He never did that. On the other hand, he promised us a lot of trouble if we become his children. So do not think that this one religion, which is so big, so many followers, the people who worship in this religion are so successful, therefore their religion is correct. Never, never make that mistake. If you are working in your office one day, boys and girls, when you grow up and you work in the office, you are the only person who does not smoke. So would you tell yourself, well, everybody is smoking, therefore I must smoke. There's nothing wrong with them. They're smoking and they're working very hard. They get promoted and all that. So I must join them. I will smoke also. No. Do not be so fuzzy-minded as to think like that. God wants us to be clear-minded, to see the facts above everything else. At this time, you must remember, Israel was in trouble. They had just suffered a famine. Ruth could have said, why should I follow Naomi back? Why should I worship her God? Look at their people. Look at God's people, Israel. They are so miserable now. Get punished by their God. They are suffering. Why should I worship this God? It's better for me to worship a God that will bless me, keep me well and happy all the time. No. Her mind was clear. She realized that Naomi's God was the one true God. And that's why she was willing to leave all these things behind. The gods of her people, her own people, and to follow Naomi. She was a clear-minded woman. Secondly, she was a brave woman. She left her own people to follow Naomi back to Israel. Now, it's a big, very big, very, very big step for her, especially for a woman to enter, to go to a strange land, to enter into a new society. She had no friends, no relatives, except her mother-in-law, Naomi. Many of us dislike change. The older we get, the less we want to change. For young people, no problem. You have less problems of adapting to change. But the fact is, the only constant thing in this world is change. This world changes so constantly. Our environment is changing, our people around us change, our circumstances change. And like it or not, change comes to us. Naomi experienced a great change. She lost her father-in-law, then she lost her husband, and then she lost her brother-in-law. Everything was, all the men who could support her and her mother-in-law were taken away. It was a very drastic and very tremendous change. In that society where no man was left in the family, that family was in trouble. There was poverty. Her future was bleak. Naomi was a widow. She could not support her daughter-in-law. She was poor. She had nothing, no future. Naomi had no future, and so because of her, Orpah and Ruth suffered the same problem. They had no future as well. That's why Orpah went back. She thought that Naomi has no more future. Then she went back. But Ruth, she bravely stuck on to Naomi, despite an uncertain future. She turned away from her people, their false gods, to follow Naomi, to follow her people, and to follow her God, Jehovah. She was brave. We do not want to change. Some people want their coffee made in a certain way. How many spoons of coffee and how many spoons of sugar. That's it. Don't change. The older we get, the more set we are. Some people must have their things here. Don't change. They get mad if they cannot find their things there. Ruth had a big change in her life. But she bravely went ahead. Many of us are afraid, are scared of following God because of the cost that we think is involved. First and foremost, and this is real, you are afraid of your families rejecting you. Especially for young people, when you are still dependent on your parents. You are worried your parents will throw you out of your house or beat you up or something like that. That is real. Those of us who are adults, we are afraid that our friends will reject us or laugh at us for living a funny lifestyle, for wasting our opportunities in this world. We are afraid the society will turn their back on us. We are afraid that the government will turn on us. If you read carefully, how many governments in this world are slowly legislating against the Christian faith. Quietly, slowly they're doing. The government can turn against you. These are fears which are real. These are worries which weigh upon us as Christians. Read the papers. Bibles are confiscated at the airport, are taken away from the bookshops. You're not allowed to use certain words and so forth. These are signs that things are happening. And we can get worried. We can get worried. We can get scared. That's why some people are so scared, they refuse to acknowledge that they're Christians. Or they change their faith. During the time of the Reformation, people were threatened with a sword to renounce their faith. Some holy men, good men, renounced their faith. But by God's grace, when they realized their mistake, they turned back again. One bishop in England, Bishop Cranmer, I think his name, he was forced to sign a letter saying that he was no longer a Protestant. And he had converted to Roman Catholicism. Later on, he renounced that. He said, I am a Protestant. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. not in the pope or anything. And they burned him. They wanted to burn him on a stake. He went. He went voluntarily. And as he approached the fire to be burned, he put out his hand. He said, "This hand, sign the confession renouncing the Lord Jesus Christ. It must burn first." We suffer. We are worried of suffering. But here we see Ruth, who's a brave woman. She made the decision to leave her people. She made the decision to leave her gods, the false gods of her people. She made the decision to leave her country and follow her mother-in-law, Naomi. So kita lihat perempuan Ruth ini. Dia seorang yang pikiran dia terang. Dia tahu apa yang benar dan apa yang palsu. Dia seorang perempuan Moab. Dia sudah berkenalan dengan kepercayaan palsu orang-orang Moab. Tapi dia sudah berkahwin dengan anak Elimelek untuk 10 tahun. Dan dari perkahwinan itu, kita pasti dia sudah belajar sedikit sebanyak mengenai Tuhan Israel. Dia sudah tahu apa Tuhan Israel sudah buat untuk orang-orang Israel. Dia sudah berfikir dan dia sudah tahu dan dia sudah pasti bahawa Tuhan Israel itu adalah Tuhan yang sebenar. Itu sebab dia sanggup meninggalkan rumah dia, dia sanggup meninggalkan negara Moab dia untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel. Pikiran dia sudah terang, dia tahu apa yang benar, apa yang palsu. Dan dia seorang perempuan yang gagah, yang berani. Dia sanggup meninggalkan semua hidup lama dia untuk mengikut Naomi ke negara Israel. Kita lihat Orpah. Orpah tidak sanggup meninggalkan orang-orang. Dia pulang kepada orang-orang Moab. Dia takut mengenai berkenaan dengan masa depan dia di satu negara yang dia tidak ketahui. Di mana dia tidak ada teman-teman. Tapi Ruth ini dia tidak takut. Dia percaya terhadap Tuhan Israel dan dia berani untuk menghadapi masa depan yang tidak begitu cerah. Dia sanggup meninggalkan semua yang dia ada untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel untuk bersembah Tuhan yang sebenar itu. Hari ini kita ada ramai orang yang takut. Takut untuk mengakui sendiri Kristian. Kerana kita menghadapi banyak masalah dalam dunia ini. Undang-undang yang tidak adil terhadap orang Kristian. Kita takut diketawakan oleh teman-teman kita. Kita takut dianiayai oleh orang-orang yang tidak percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. So kita lihat, tapi now Ruth tidak takut. Dia buat keputusan untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel dan dia terus jalan. Pikiran dia sudah terbuka oleh Tuhan. Dia tahu apa yang benar dan dia sanggup ikut apa yang benar. So secondly, now we come to her life. Ruth followed Naomi back to Israel. They were very poor. No place to stay, no income, no man to take care of them. They were poor. Poorer than church mouse, so to speak. No home, no income, no protection. There was no man with them. But she went back with Naomi. And Ruth lived a faithful life, an obedient life. Ruth made up her mind to follow Naomi back to Israel and she followed. She stuck to it. Even though Naomi discouraged her, not once but twice, to return, she did not. So Ruth followed. She knew that she was going to live in widowhood, maybe perhaps for the rest of her life, but she went back. She made her decision and she was clear about it. And never once did we hear her complain. If you take the trouble to read through Ruth after this later on, never once did she complain about her decision. not once. But what we find in her life was once of faithful obedience. She never regretted her life, but she stuck to it. She went back to Israel. She had to live in poverty. But whatever she did in accordance to the advice of her mother-in-law, Naomi. Whatever she was told to do, she did. She lived a faithful life. She never once told the mother-in-law or complained, "I should have gone back to Moab. I regret coming here." Not once. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us about deciding to follow Him. In Luke chapter 9 verse 62, it says, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The more important something is to be done, the more committed we should be to it. Which is more important, your family or your job? Some Japanese will say my job will come first. Because without a job, I cannot support my family. It's wrong. You should be more committed to your family. Because your job, if you lose this one, by God's grace, you will find another one. To which will you give your life? Your hobby or your family? Of course, it's a family, right? Ruth left her country, left her people to join Naomi. It's a picture, a very clear picture of a person who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaves the world to follow Christ, to turn away from the world and to follow Christ. Following Christ means leaving many things behind. It could be your parents, it could be your friends, it could be your jobs, it could be many things. It could be living a good life. A life where you have a lot of pleasure and ease. It could be living a life of missed opportunities. If you want to follow Christ, perhaps your career will suffer. You will be stuck there. You will not go anywhere at all. You will be sidelined by your bosses. Following Christ has a cost for us. But the Bible tells us, do not mock God. We will reap what we sow. It tells us here that we do not fool around with God. We do not take God lightly. If with your mouth you say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." If with your mouth you say, "I want to follow Him." Then you better do so. Do not say one thing and do another. God does not fool around with us. God has never fooled around with us. Those of us who have lived long enough in our Christian life will realize this. God does not play around with us because He cannot afford to. He has our souls at stake. He has our eternal future at stake. That is too important for Him to fool around with. God is committed to saving His people. He showed this. He showed His commitment to us by planning salvation. The moment Adam and Eve sinned against Him, the plan of salvation was put into action. You see in Genesis chapter 3, the first gospel preached of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to strike the serpent on the head, to destroy sin in our lives, and to save us from our sins. God showed His commitment by sending His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place. God is serious with us. He is not fooling around with us. And we should not fool around with Him. Because if we say with our mouth that we are Christians, we get baptized, we come into the church, but in the end, we say this is too too heavy for me. I'm not interested anymore. You will have to pay the price. Do not take God lightly. Do not take His blessings for granted. God will require an answer from you. If you realize that following Christ is the right thing to do, then do it with your whole heart. Don't fool around. In this life, we don't like people who say one thing and do another, isn't it? Those of us who are punctual, who are on time, we promise our friends, we will meet at 3 o'clock. You go there at 2:50 and you wait. Your friend comes at 4 and says, I woke up late. The more violent ones may just walk away or try and give him a punch, right? There's a problem with the world today. We live in a world where people are not committed, who say one thing and mean another, and they make thousands and one excuses. Remember the president who said, read my lips, no more taxes. And after he was elected, boom, the taxes went up. Say one thing, you do another. Too many people are like this. In this world, and unfortunately within the church as well, we must be ready to commit our whole life and our whole future to God and to live for Him. Of course, we cannot be perfect. Yes, right? We do fall in our sins. We have a sinful nature that drags us down constantly. But the heart must be there. The heart must be there to continue to commit to God and know that nothing in this world can offer a more blessed future than God Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth realized this. Somehow she realized this. That following Naomi was the right decision to do. Going back to Israel was the right thing to do. And she did it with her whole heart. Not once did she complain. Not once did she look back at the life in Moab and say that it was better. She lived a hard life. If you read Ruth, she had to work hard from morning till night to collect just enough food for her and her mother-in-law to survive, but she did it. And it's the same for us in this life as well. The Christian life is not an easy life. God never promised that. But even in the hardship of the Christian life, there is joy. There are blessings. All of us has a cross to carry when we come to Christ. But He has promised us, and He is with us. Look at the story of Daniel. Look at the story of Paul, Peter. Look at the story of George Mueller, of William Carey. Look at the story of each and every Christian in the church that lives faithfully for Christ. Life as a Christian is not easy. It never was. But if you live a committed, obedient life to God, like Ruth, the blessings will be there. The blessings will come. So she lived a committed life. And Ruth ini dalam kehidupan dia, dia hidup penuh dedikasi. Penuh dengan komitmen terhadap apa yang dia percayai. Dia percaya bahawa keputusan untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel itu keputusan yang benar, yang betul. Dan dia mengikut ini, keputusan ini. Kalau kita baca buku Ruth, kita tidak dengar sekalipun dia merugut. Dia tidak sekalipun berpaling pulang ke Moab dan berkata, kehidupan Moab itu lebih bagus dari Israel. Tidak. Walaupun kehidupan dia susah, dia terpaksa kerja dari pagi sampai malam untuk mengutip cukup makanan untuk dia sendiri dan ibu mertua dia. Tidak sekali dia kesal terhadap keputusan dia untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel. Dia ikut dengan sepenuh hati dia keputusan dia untuk mengikut Naomi pulang ke Israel. Gambar Ruth pulang meninggalkan Moab, negara dia Moab, untuk pulang dengan Naomi ke Israel adalah gambar seorang Kristian yang meninggalkan hidup dunia ini, kehidupan dunia ini untuk mengikut Kristus, Yesus Kristus. Kalau kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, kita mesti meninggal semua yang dalam penting dalam dunia ini. Dan mengikut Yesus Kristus. Apa yang kita cakapkan dengan mulut kita, kita mesti ikut dengan dalam hidup kita. Kita jangan sekali-sekali main dengan Tuhan kita. Tuhan tidak pernah mempermainkan kita. Roh kita terlalu berharga terhadap dia. Dia sudah memberi anak dia, nyawa anak dia Yesus Kristus untuk menyelamatkan kita dari dosa-dosa kita. Dia tidak sekalipun mempermainkan kita. Apa yang Tuhan cakapkan, dia sudah memenuhi. Kalau kita benar-benar mau ikut Tuhan, kalau kita benar-benar mempercayai Yesus Kristus, kita mesti menunjuk dalam hidup kita apa yang sebenarnya kita sudah cakapkan dalam mulut kita. Kita jangan sekali-sekali memanggil kita seorang Kristian. Jangan kita dibaptiskan. Jangan kita menjadi anggota gereja Tuhan. Selepas 1-2 tahun kita kata, oh, hidup Kristian ini terlalu susah. Saya mau meninggalkan itu. Berhati-hati. Kita jangan mempermainkan Tuhan. Kerana dia akan menghukum kita. Apa yang kita tahu benar, kita mesti ikut dengan sepenuh hati kita. Jangan sekali kita cuba memperdayakan Tuhan kita. Kerana kita akan dihukum oleh dia. So, Ruth lived the committed life. And secondly, Ruth lived an obedient life. Her life in Israel was characterized by total obedience. She heeded good advice. She had to go and collect. Now when Ruth and Naomi returned to Israel, by God's grace, it was harvesting time. So people were harvesting barley, wheat, and so forth. And it was the practice of Israel, by God's law, that when people harvested their grain, they did not sweep clean everything. They would leave patches of grain for the poor people to come and get their living. Not like today, we mechanize our harvesting, the machine, the big harvester. One round, everything is gone. Clean, sweep, nothing is left. Not even for the birds. But in Israel, God's law was this. When you harvest, you don't clean everything. You leave patches for the poor people to come after and get something to support them. And so Ruth did that. She went out to the harvesting fields and she collected. And by God's grace, she bumped into this man called Boaz. And in Ruth chapter 2, verse 8, this is what happened. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she bumped into Boaz, which is actually a relative of Naomi. And Boaz advised her, "Stay in my fields. Work with my women. And when you need water, go to my young men and get the water from them." She did. She obediently followed Boaz's advice. She could have looked around and said, "Oh, maybe this field has more grain and we'll go over there to another man's field." She did not. She followed this man's advice. And later on, Naomi realizes that Boaz is a close relative of hers who can help them. And so she advises Ruth to seek Boaz's help. You see this in Ruth chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. It says, Naomi tells Ruth, "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and you will tell, and he will tell you what you should do." Verse 5, and she said to her, All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Actually, what Naomi told Ruth to do was, follow this man Boaz. See where he sleeps. Where has he slept? you uncover his feet and you lie down there close to him. No? What Naomi was telling Ruth to do was, ask this man to marry you. Make a marriage proposal to this man Boaz. And Ruth followed exactly what Naomi told her. Now this Boaz must have been much older than Ruth. Much older. Because he was probably the same age as Naomi. Maybe slightly younger. So he was an older man. But Ruth did not look at the age. She just followed the advice of her mother-in-law. She did not go seeking for younger men. No. Now, today, women seek older men for the wealth, right? After they have got the wealth, then they look for the younger men, right? By God's grace, Ruth is not such a person, right? Anyway, in those days, the laws were much tighter, right? So, she did not look for a younger man. She followed Naomi's advice. She gleaned from Boaz's field. She noted where Boaz went to sleep. And at night, she went and carried out what Naomi advised her. She uncovered Boaz's feet and slept there. And next morning, Boaz woke up and found this young lady at his feet. And he agreed to marry her. But not before he had to approach another relative, somebody closer to Naomi. That relative said, no, I will not marry Ruth. So that opened the door for Boaz to marry Naomi. If you read the whole book of Ruth, you see what happened. From poverty, from hopelessness, Ruth married Boaz, a wealthy man. Her future was secured. How was her future secured? Through what? Through a faith of obedience, a life of obedience. God desires obedience from us far, far more than what we can think we can give to Him. In Samuel chapter 15, this is a very well-known verse. I think we should memorize this often. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says here, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. God says, I want your obedience. I don't want your time, your money, or whatever you think you can give me. I want you to obey me. That's something we can never give God on our own. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come to live that obedient life on our behalf. Sin came into this world because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And today we continue to suffer because of our unwillingness to follow God's will. Even the Ten Commandments, which are so simple, we refuse to follow. And that's why we suffer, because we want to go on our own way. What is so wrong with the fifth commandment of obeying your parents? Now, boys and girls, has your parents ever fed you with poison? I hope not. When you ask for money to buy something in school, have they given you stones and sticks? No? Have your parents taught you how to gamble, which is better than studying? I know some parents who do that, lah, no? By God's grace, I think, God willing, none of us here will ever do that to our parents, our children. What is so wrong with resting on the fourth, on the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment? What is so wrong of not going to the shopping complex and coming to sit down quietly and to meditate on God's word and listen to it? What is so wrong about trying not to hate people? What is so wrong about telling the truth? These things seem so simple to obey, but we cannot. We do not. We want our own way. And that's why there's so much misery in your life. There's so much misery in the life of this world. And the misery is increasing. Because we are not living in accordance to God's will. We want to live in accordance to our ways, our will. And we are making a mess of this life. God wants our obedience. Not what we can give Him. Some people think that if I disobey God, I get more, then I can give Him more. No. It doesn't work out that way. Some people think, I have to disobey God on Sunday. I work, I earn more. Then later on, I can give to God more. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He wants you to obey Him. Plain and simple. There is this one story. This father told the boy, his son, the boy, not to ride the motorbike to town. He had no license. But this boy still did it. He disobeyed his father. And he still rode the motorbike to town to be with his friends. One fine day, the boy took the motorbike to town again and it was stolen. The boy disobeyed the father by taking the motorbike to town. And worse, the bike was lost. It was stolen. This is a real story. It came out of the papers. And this boy was so scared. He ran away from home. He did not go home. Because of the lost bike, because of his disobedience. He did not go home. He stayed with his friends in town. In Malay Park there. And one day, this boy was killed in an accident. He died without going back to his family. And this is because of the result of disobedience. Why couldn't he just listen to his father and say, okay, you tell me not to bring the bike to town, I don't bring. I sit at home or I go by bicycle or walk. What is so difficult? In the end, he died. So unfortunate. Disobedience. That is our problem. That is our biggest problem. Disobedience in the society, disobedience in the church, disobedience in the family, and so forth. Let us live an obedient life, and then you will see God's smile upon you. Live an obedient life, dear children, and you will see your parents happy and grow to an old age. I half suspect that our medical centers are making a lot of money is because of stress. Not just work stress, but family stress as well. The children are becoming uncontrollable and the parents are suffering. Okay, so we can blame the parents for not instilling discipline in their children. Right? No. We suffer as a result of our disobedient life. Disobedience within society, and more importantly, disobedience to God. We suffer. But Ruth, she lived an obedient life, and she was blessed. Ruth ini, dia pulang ke Israel, dan dalam kehidupan dia, dia hidup secara taat. Dia mengikut arahan. Dia dinasihati oleh ibu mertua dia, Naomi, untuk mencari bantuan dari orang ini, nama dia Boaz. Naomi menasihati Ruth supaya dia kahwin dengan Boaz. Walaupun Boaz itu orang yang lebih tua dari dia. Dan, tapi dia mengikut nasihat itu. Dan dia diberkati oleh Tuhan. Dia diberkati oleh Tuhan. Boaz mengawini Ruth dan Ruth dijaga dengan baik oleh Boaz ini. So dalam hidup kita, hidup kita ni penuh dengan sengsara adalah kerana kita tidak ikut arahan Tuhan. Kita mau hidup ikut cara kita sendiri. Kita tidak ikut arahan Tuhan. Itu sebab kita sengsara selalu. Tak, kalau kita mau diberkati Tuhan, kita mesti ikut hidup ikut cara dia. Now we come to the lessons. First of all, we see in Ruth's life that God elects. Look at Orpah and Ruth. Both of them were married into the same family. Both of them were exposed to the teachings about the Jehovah God, the God of Israel. Both of them knew about what God had done for Israel. Orpah did not respond, but Ruth did. Orpah turned away from God and went back to her own people. Ruth did not. Ruth was a Moabite. And the Moabite nation was actually under the judgment of God. And one day they will be destroyed. But here you see Ruth, a Moabite woman. She was saved. The blessings of salvation were originally only to Israel. God gave the laws to Israel. God made Israel His special people. They were protected by Him. They were led by Him. They were blessed by Him. All others were excluded. But you see here, God is merciful to save even someone who does not belong to His chosen people. Remember, Ruth did not deserve any kindness from God. But God gave her salvation because salvation is the gift of God. It is not our right. Too often we think that God must be kind to me because I'm deprived. I was given a chance in this life, and so God must be kind to me. We always say, I've done many good things for God, and therefore He must do good for me. We tell ourselves, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I'm good to my brothers and sisters, I don't beat my wife, I don't kill my enemies, and so forth. We say that we are decent people, we are kind people, we are hardworking, we are honest, and therefore God must be kind to me. God must save me. That is wrong. God does not owe us anything. We are the ones who have wronged Him. And if God left each one of us in hell forever, it is His right. We cannot point a finger and say, God, why you are so unfair to me? Why didn't you not save me? It's just like, boys and girls, one day you find out life is so good in America, and then you come to your parents and say, Mom and Dad, why are you so unfair to me? Why didn't you bring me up in America? Why aren't we American citizens? You cannot do that. We are Malaysians. We are born here. We are stuck here. It's God's will. But salvation is in God's hands. We deserve nothing from Him. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God chose to save Ruth. He opened her heart, He opened her mind to see the truth about worshipping false gods, and He brought her to Him. She did not come on her own. God drew her. That's why you see, Orpah and Ruth, both exposed to the knowledge of God in the same family. Orpah did not respond, but Ruth did. In John chapter 6, verse 65, it says, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ said, don't think that you can save yourself. Don't think that you can, by reading the Bible, by educating yourself, by praying long enough, you can come to God on your own. No. Faith, salvation is not a matter of the mind over matter. No. It is God opening up your mind and your heart. God opened up her understanding. God opened up her heart to turn away from darkness to light. God gave her the courage to press on with her decision to follow Naomi, to live in a strange land, to face an uncertain future, a future of poverty, of the lack of insecurity, and so forth. God gave her the courage, God gave her the commitment, and God gave her the obedience. Orpah wanted to follow Naomi at first, but God was not with her, and so halfway she turned back. Ruth persevered because God enabled her today. From the beginning till the end, it is God's work. You are here today by God's grace, listening to God's word. It is not by accident. It is not by accident. There is no such thing as fate in this world. You could be like the millions of other Malaysians now, either on the road, travelling, or shopping, or at home, just waking up, or watching your walai toy or whatever TV you like. You could be one of those millions, but you are not. You are here this morning, listening, and I pray to God you are understanding what you are hearing. You are here because God has allowed you to come. You are here because God has opened the door for you. He has given you this opportunity to listen to His word about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Himself. It is God who has given us this chance. Boys and girls, you are blessed. Your parents take the trouble to wake you up this morning. So I think some of us had big trouble waking them up. But you are here because your parents have taken the trouble to bring you here. They read the Bible to you. They prayed for you. They bring you to church. Do not ignore all these things. It is not by accident. It is not by accident. God is telling you something. God is giving you the opportunity to be blessed by Him. God is giving you the opportunity to live a better life than what this world has to offer. Do not ignore. Do not ignore the voice of God. Do not let this opportunity slip by. You can say, I do not know whether I am elected by God or not. That is not a question that you are to ask. You must ask yourself, is what I am hearing the truth or not? Is what I am hearing good for me? Is it to my benefit? Is it the truth? Is it the fact that we are suffering misery in this world? Is it a fact that whatever I do is not making me happy? Is it a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to live and die for me? You must be clear-minded about these things. Don't think about SMSing your friends about the party later on or the shopping that you're going to do. No, those things are not important. Those things will not affect your future. What you are going to do, what will you do about what you have heard? That is important. Will you follow God or you follow this world? That is the key question that you must answer. God has been kind to you. God has been merciful to you. Do not let this opportunity slip by. You do not know what will happen next when you step out the door of this church. Believe, and then you will see what God can do for you. Kita lihat dalam kehidupan Ruth bahawa Tuhanlah yang memilih siapa yang dia mau menyelamatkan. Kita lihat Orpah dan Ruth itu, mereka bersama-sama dalam keluarga Naomi. Mereka bersama-sama sudah pelajari mengenai Tuhan Israel. Tapi hanya Ruth yang ikut Naomi pulang ke Israel. Orpah, dia kata dia mau ikut. Tapi setengah jalan, dia tukar pikiran dia dan dia pulang. Tapi Ruth dipilih oleh Tuhan. Dia dibenarkan oleh Tuhan untuk percaya, untuk memahami kebenaran Tuhan, mempercaya Tuhan dan mengikut arah Tuhan sampai akhir hayatnya. Kita tidak boleh kata, saya mau percaya Tuhan dengan kuasa saya sendiri. Itu bukan kekuatan kita. Tuhanlah yang memilih. Tuhanlah yang membenarkan setiap orang dalam gereja ini untuk datang ke sini pagi ini. Dia memberi peluang untuk kita mendengar khutbah, untuk mendengar mengenai dosa-dosa kita, untuk mempelajari mengenai Yesus Kristus. Dia memberi kita peluang ini. Kita mesti mengguna peluang ini untuk percaya, bertaubat dari dosa-dosa kita, percaya kepada Yesus Kristus dan diselamatkan oleh Dia. Kita jangan mempermainkan Tuhan. Kita jangan melepaskan peluang ini untuk percaya kepada Yesus Kristus dan we berkati dia. Secondly, God blesses faithfulness and obedience. Now, how did Ruth's life turn out? What happened to her? In Ruth chapter 4 verse 13, it says, So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. Remember, this is the same Ruth that had lost her father-in-law, lost her husband, lost her brother-in-law, lost everything. And in the end, she lost everything, she went to Israel, to an uncertain future, but by God's grace, God led her to this man Boaz. This Boaz married her, and she was blessed. She gained a husband, and she gained a son. God gave her a good husband, and best of all, God gave her a son. And this is no just any ordinary boy, not just any ordinary son. In Ruth chapter 4 verse 17, it says, and they call his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So you see here that Ruth is David's great-great-great-grandmother. From the line of Ruth came King David. And do you know from who came from King David's line? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. A person who lost everything. Came from her line, came the great King of Israel, David. And from his line, this line came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing, what an honor for someone who did not belong to God's people. She was a Moabite, not even an Israelite. She had nothing. But God blessed her because she followed God. She was obedient to God, she was faithful to Him, and she was given more than what she expected or more than what she deserved. The blessings came upon her because she lived for God. Too often, we think that we as believers believe that God is obliged to bless us when we walk according to His will. No. Look at Job, how much he suffered. Look at Daniel, he had to face the lions first. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Before He was honored in heaven, He had to go through the cross. But each one of them, Job, Daniel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Ruth, all of them lived obedient lives. They suffered, but they lived obedient lives. They continued to live obedient lives even in their suffering. And as a result, they were blessed. Imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed to the Lord, to His Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. If God gave him, if he took that choice and said, okay, I will not suffer on the cross. I don't have to. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to suffer on the cross for us. He had a right to reject it. And if he did that, if he said, no, I will not drink this cup. I will not suffer on the cross because I do not need to. Imagine what happened to all of us. We won't even be here listening to gospel. All of us will be in hell. Every single one of us. But he did not. He was obedient to God even unto death. And he was blessed. And we are blessed. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he did not obey God, none of us would have a chance to hear his word. None of us would have a chance to be saved. But here we are. Because of Christ's obedience. Here we are because of Ruth's obedience. From her came the line of that led to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We suffer in this world. We suffer because of our faith, and too often we suffer because of our disobedience. But if we suffer If we suffer for our obedience, then believe me, you will be blessed. If not in this world, then in the world to come. Whatever happens to us here, we must live obedient lives. We cannot say things are too tough, I must let go, I must let God go. No, never do that. Satan will attack us. Satan will entice us and say Christian life is too difficult. No time to enjoy yourself. No time to enjoy your money. 10% must go to the church. You must spend your time giving out tracts. You must always worry about sharing the gospel. You must worry about speaking the truth all the time. Look at your friend. He can do whatever he wants and he's happy. You are so miserable as a Christian. They whisper and they whisper, but you do not know. You must realize that by living an obedient life, the blessings will come. The blessings will come. The most painful period for a woman is just before she delivers her child. The greatest pain that any human being will ever suffer is the death of a delivery. But after delivery comes the child. And if you are blessed with an obedient child, then the delivery was worth it. Right? As Christians, if you want God to bless us, even now, even today, we must live obedient lives. Through thick and thin, we must hold on to Him. We must not turn away. We must persevere in our disobedience. We must persevere even when the devil tells us to turn away. Even when the world laughs at us. No. If we want to experience God's smile upon us, then we must turn away from our sins. We must turn away from this world. Just like Ruth. God blessed her. You don't believe me, you read the stories of all the Christians that have come before us. Read their life story. Not necessarily the famous people like Spurgeon or William Carey. Find the books that tell us about the lives of ordinary Christians who are not famous but who are faithful to God. And you see God blessing them. Not in the way that the world expects. Fame, wealth, and all. No. God blesses us with peace. God blesses us with security, with the knowledge that when we pass from this world, we go to a better place. We are too worried about the things of this world, actually. We are so scared. So scared of losing this and losing that. In the end, we disobey God. We should not. We should not. We must be ready to let go. Obedience to God first. Other things are secondary. We may hurt our loved ones. What to do? It's better to hurt your loved one than to disobey God. God blesses an obedient life. Tuhan memberkati hidup yang taat kepada Dia. Kita lihat Ruth. Dia ikut arahan Tuhan. Dia percaya kepada Dia dan dia hidup mengikut arahan Tuhan. Dan kita lihat bagaimana Tuhan memberkati dia. Dia dikahwini oleh Boaz. Dia mendapat seorang anak lelaki. Nama dia apa? Obed. Dan dari Obed datang Jesse. Dan Jesse itu adalah bapa kepada David. Dan dari David datanglah Yesus Kristus. So kita lihat bagaimana Ruth diberkati oleh Tuhan. Ruth yang meninggalkan negara dia. Ruth yang meninggalkan orang-orangnya. Untuk mengikut Tuhan. Dia diberkati. Dan kita boleh percaya bahawa kalau kita hidup secara Ruth. Kalau kita taat kepada Tuhan, kemahuan dia. Tuhan akan memberkati kita. Percayalah itu. Tuhan akan memenuhi janji-janji dia kepada orang-orang yang taat kepada dia. So in conclusion, we see how kind God was to Ruth. She did not belong to God's people, yet she was shown mercy. She was saved and she was honored. God chose to save her. And she proved this that she was saved by following him and living a life of obedience to him. If you come to God today, he will not turn you away as well. The devil will tell you your friends will laugh at you. The devil will tell you your parents will be in, you will be in big trouble with your parents. The devil will tell you many things. And your pride, the pride in you will say, why must I confess my sins to God? Better to keep it a secret. All these things come, but you must push them away. You must push them aside. Look at Ruth. How she was blessed when she turned away from all these things. And God will do the same to you. If you ask for forgiveness for your sins, if you turn from your old life, and if you live in accordance to His will, God will bless. God is not somebody who fools around with His words. He is true to His word. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to come to Him. You have heard, and I pray to God that you have understood. Why we are unhappy in this world is because we do live without God. We show this by our disobedience to authority. We show our disobedience to our parents and so forth. And because of this, we are unhappy. And worst of all, we are unhappy because we are disobedient to God. We must go back to Him. We must hear Him. We must listen to Him. And most importantly, we must obey Him. Then, the Bible assures you, not I assure you, but the Bible assures you, you will find true happiness. You will find true meaning in this life. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 55 verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear. And your soul shall live. So my dear listeners, hear God's word. Consider it. And I pray that you will respond. Come to God for forgiveness. He will forgive you. Come to God for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give it to you. Come to God for peace in your life. And He will most gladly grant it to you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we end? Close this service by singing hymn 121.